Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly with Weiss and Nick here, right after the latest episode of Hard, the Giants in-season Hard Knocks. But before we get to today's episode, got to take care of the housekeeping. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcast. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Ethan at EthanGSN. Follow me at Nick Serraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms. All right, Weiss, let's get into it.
I'm not going to lie. The first episode I sort of watched on the fly. I was traveling, so I just watched everything on my phone. And I watched like half of it and then half later in the day, so I didn't really get a chance to kind of sit down and follow along. But I rewatched the first episode right before the second episode. So I think we'll go 2-1. Because that's kind of like fresh in my mind. Okay. Second episode was about the combine. He kind of got a closer glimpse of, you know, the interview process. I think a lot of stuff has always been coming out every year at the combine about, you know, what questions are asked to prospects and kind of hear the crazy stuff. But we kind of got sort of the gist of how the Giants do things. And I think the thing that really came up or you know, I learned from this was that, you know, Brian Daboll sort of leads the interview process with a lot of these guys, not just the quarterbacks, but the other players as well. We didn't get to see defensive guys, so I don't know how that goes, but in terms of the offensive guys, you know, it's Brian Daboll, whether it was a quarterback, whether it was a receiver. Obviously, watching Daboll ask questions to the quarterback, that was unique. You know, that was awesome. That was seeing Daboll put these guys on the spot. There was that one part with, I think it was Jaden Daniels, where he asks him a question about sort of like handling adversity in the New York media and you having a rough, you know, stretch of games and the media's all over you. Who do you go to? And then as Jaden Daniels is answering that question, Daboll goes, oh, timeout. You know, tell me that play that I told you to like write down before. And Jaden Daniels, to his credit, you know, says it. So it's awesome to see that. I think it, I'm not going to say it gives me more confidence or less confidence in Daboll, but I sort of like seeing that from my head coach. And then, you know, obviously this, we're starting to see how the Saquon negotiations start to play out. Saw the conversations at the beginning of the episode and then right at the end with the agent and, you know, Ed Berry, Saquon's agent, and then the phone call with Saquon between Joe Shane, where he sort of said, hey, can I get an opportunity to match it? And Saquon kind of, again, we don't want to draw conclusions from a clip like that, but it kind of seemed like Saquon was already had one foot out the door. People can draw their own conclusions if they want, but I think once it was clear that the Giants were letting Barkley test the free agent market without even offering him a contract, and obviously they said they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to lowball him. They wanted to let him see what the market was. Saquon kind of realized that that was the end. And then obviously the big thing, and you and I sort of knew this during the draft, but or leading up to the draft, but surprise, surprise, the Giants did try to get up to number 3. And they covered it in this episode. And I don't think that'll be the last time they cover it as well. The Giants went to New England, talked about the number 3 pick. We saw that. Interesting to see how else this plays out, how much more they show. But yeah, that's my takeaway. Much more, I like the second episode a lot more than the first episode.
The second episode, I started to get a feel for people. That's generally the kind of thing that makes Hard Knocks appealing. What, you know, in its original state was, you got invested in guys who were trying to make the team or smaller assistant coaches who you didn't really have a feel for. And I obviously you only see what you see on the given episode, but I at least got a bit more of a feel for just the personalities within the Giants, you know, the ball busting going back and forth, telling Daboll there's no shot he could run a 7-second 40-yard dash. I found that very amusing. But the biggest takeaway I had is, they don't sound all that different from us as regular civilians when we're talking about prospects. They don't sound very different from you and your friends talking about your fantasy league as they are when they're talking about, oh, what do you want for Brian Burns? Well, it's going to be 2 picks and this, you know. It's very interesting to reduce this to the human level stuff, because we all know the combine, as far as like the physical testing goes, doesn't matter a whole lot. They care a lot more about your traits, your production, and obviously, as this episode showed, your personality, your character. And I found it very interesting how they chose to highlight the few players they did and what kind of bring what the teams are looking for in this process, because we all can just watch the testing and we can compare it to different players from the past or within a given class, but we don't see those interviews. We don't see the sit downs usually until, you know, like 3 years later, when the player turns out to be good with that team, the team will circle back around and turn it into content for their social media. But I was just really struck by how open-minded it seemed the Giants went into this process with. And again, this is obviously edited months after the fact, so this might not be the most honest portrayal of how they were pursuing the draft, but at least that's how it struck me. You know, they went into it ready to go up to get a quarterback, and they sat down with all the quarterbacks, or if Marv was there, or if they preferred Rome, if they preferred Adunze, they also could have done that as well. I just think that's the most encouraging thing, is something we've reiterated, that even though the results have not always been great in the Shane decision making, the process has been pretty sound. And I think this episode reiterated that a commitment to strong process in their decision making should encourage you as a fan. Now, they got to start hitting on some of these things, and the good process needs to eventually translate to good results. But at the very least, you got to feel like the people in charge of your team have a plan, or at least a few plans, and they're not quite running from fire to fire the way some teams are, where if something doesn't work immediately, it's how do we fix this?
Yeah, sticking with the combine portion of it, you talked about the ball busting. I think what's emerging from at least the first two episodes is we're getting a much more closer look at the front office people. Obviously, Chris Rossetti was the big name in the first episode. Brandon Brown, the second episode, you're seeing more and more of him. And it's sort of interesting that it seems like they were pretty high on Christian Wilkins. Like they were going to spend money on their defensive line. It's interesting because when it came to the offensive line, they sort of took the quantity over quality, meaning they wanted to get multiple good linemen versus one really good lineman. Whereas defensively, they were ready to make a big splash rather than spend on two guys. So I think they're on their defensive line, it was like, hey, if you know this Brian Burns trade doesn't happen, potentially they pivot quickly to Christian Wilkins, and they were going to spend big with him. And then on the flip side, the offensive line, it was always, you know, while there were always talks of them going after Onyewu, I think that's his name, the Patriots offensive lineman. It seemed like from the get-go, at least the first two episodes show, that the Giants were more inclined to like, hey, you know, we're willing to allocate $20 million this year to the offensive line rather than getting one guy and paying them $18 million per year. Let's split that up and then get, you know, John Runyon like they did for 10. Lenore for what? I think 2 for $14, I think they got him for. So that's, you know, it's interesting to see how their mentality was from the get-go with that versus what the early reporting was when the offseason first started. So yeah, we're starting to, you know, it's sort of like painting a picture, and we're starting to see it all come together. Another thing on the interview thing, the Malik Nabers interview, I think Dable asked him about getting the ball early in games. And I think Nabers kind of straight up was like, yeah, I wouldn't like that. I would be pissed. And it seemed like Dayball was like, yeah, I like that. I want you to be angry, which is, you know, makes you think about the years with Odell and the sideline stuff. And if Brian Daboll was the coach versus, you know, a Ben McAdoo or a Pat Shurmur or even Tom Coughlin, how Daboll would have handled it versus how they handled it, you know? So that was interesting. I think Daboll kind of understands what Malik Nabers is. He knows the lightning rod that he can be, and I think he likes it. And then Brandon Brown pointed that out too, about, you know, guys that play receiver, pass rusher, cornerback, you know, those aren't guys that are typically low volume or quiet guys. They're typically guys that are going to be vocal and kind of speak their mind. And it seems like the Giants are okay with that.
I think the Giants understand that's today's league, that you can't try and force everybody into a certain box. You know, that was kind of their undoing in the end, at the end of the last decade, where it was, well, after Odell, we need to change the direction of this team. We need to make leadership a priority. We need to make character a priority. And it was all empty nonsense because they drafted a criminal and they brought in multiple criminals also. But they made a conscious effort to be like, well, we're the Giants. We're better than everybody. And I think you can't go into these types of situations, these draft rooms, and think you know these guys entirely. You know, you get 5 minutes. You know, one of the players made a joke that it was like speed dating. And it is, you know, you can't get a real feel for who these guys are in the handful of minutes you get to sit down with them. You can get a feel for them, but you're never going to know who a guy really is until he's in your training camp, on your team, playing these games. I felt okay. I didn't think I learned anything groundbreaking. I think the reporting around the Giants' intentions in the draft was pretty strong. I think it was well reported that the Giants wanted a quarterback, but they weren't particularly high on Penix or McCarthy, and because of that, they stood pat where they were. They liked all three of the receivers. Marvin Harrison wasn't there. And from what they gleaned in their interviews and what their scouts told them, they preferred Neighbors. I have no qualms. I think we didn't learn anything groundbreaking there. But I do think the one thing, and I saw a few people talking about it on Twitter after the episode ended, God, I wish the Giants could have found a way, man. It just sitting here, what supposed to be exciting, you know, this is an entirely different feel if Drake May is QB2 or Jaden Daniels is QB2 sitting here and, okay, we're going to go through the motions of three Daniel Jones starts and then one of those guys. Because I liked what I saw from those brief, like Jaden Daniels joking, oh yeah, what's the play? Throw a touchdown. That I found that pretty funny. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear from my quarterback. And I don't know if the Giants are ever going to take a quarterback who's got a personality. That might be the one organizational deficiency in perpetuity, but I enjoyed this. I felt like I learned a little bit more than I knew as far as just who the people in the process are. You mentioned Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, somebody in the mix as well. I was entertained. You know, this is ultimately, this is an entertainment property. And I think there's a very direct reason they ended that episode on the cliffhanger of Saquon and setting up the next episode around free agency. But this doesn't change anything for me. I already liked Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. It just puts a little more color in, as you said. You know, I'm getting a more detailed picture of how they interact with each other, how they interact with the rest of the staff, and how they think about football.
Yeah, I'll sort of, you're right. I think it doesn't change necessarily my opinion. I think, you know, we'll kind of go a little bit further back to the first episode with, you know, John Mara coming into the office and talking about, you know, I don't want to lose Barkley. And a lot of people kind of, I don't know if they were upset, but they were, he's meddling. I didn't get that sense because I feel like those conversations, like whether we agree or not, Saquon was, you know, the most popular player on the Giants since 2018, right? People, you know, he was the guy that was selling jerseys. He was the guy that, you know, when the team was mathematically eliminated, people still paid attention because of him. He was, you know, the bread and butter for an organization that was not winning a lot of games and sort of needed to distract their fans from something. So I understood why, as an owner, you know, you're thinking from a business standpoint, like, you know, what's the alternative if we lose him? Like, what are we going to do? And Joe Shane gave a great football answer when he talked about, hey, you're paying a quarterback $40 million not to turn around and hand the ball off to a $12 million running back. You know, the quarterback has to make plays. So he gave a good football answer, but I understood what John Mayer was saying from a business standpoint, like, hey, I we can't have, and a football standpoint, whereas, hey, you know, like, what's the alternative here? And really these first two episodes for me, there's nothing that popped out that makes me mad, you know? Like, you know, like
you're being pandered to. That's the entire point of Hard Knocks.
Exactly.
You are being pandered to.
Yeah. But I will say the first episode, there was a lot of Hollywood scripting going on. Whereas the second episode, it was more of just like, hey, this is how we did things. Now, they didn't show us everything, right? But there was no scenes where you're like, oh, that seems like it's choreographed, right? I loved the part with Deion Dargan. And Joe Shane kind of getting ready for the press conference. it was the Giants PR guy, and it's pretty interesting how he kind of knew all the questions that were going to be coming. That was pretty interesting how Shane kind of was prepared for it all. So yeah, I sort of like so far what we've done. I would have loved to see more with these first two episodes of where they stood with McKinney at the time. You know, was there any conversations? I know a lot of it is centered around, okay, how did they acquire Brian Burns? You know, what their thought process was with Saquon, but nothing really on Xavier McKinney.
I agree with you. I think that'll probably be resolved in the free agency episode, where this isn't moving linearly. You know, it's bouncing around back and forth timeline wise. So I do think you'll probably get an answer to that question in the next episode, which is supposed to be about just free agency. And then the draft probably gets in towards the end of that. But I think based on the reporting, I think they understood he was going to be more expensive than they were willing to pay. And it's really that straightforward. I mean, it seems like that's the guiding principle of these negotiations so far through the first two episodes, is they had a number, Saquon didn't like it, and then Joe Shane said, okay, go to market, let us know what's out there, don't make a final decision without talking to us. And it, like you said at the outset, it really seemed like Saquon had already determined, well, they don't want me, so I'm not coming back no matter what, which is kind of how I took the way he reacted on that phone call at the end of the episode. I'm sure he's probably tweeted something in the last 20 minutes about how that was misrepresenting what happened, but
not yet. Yeah. I think there was one point at the end of the series when they were previewing the next episode where Joe Shane, I don't know if he says that he offered him a deal that was like 3 years with 25 guaranteed, something like that. I'm interested to see how they approach this, because it's going to all come to fruition in the next episode, right? Saquon signs with the Eagles. I'm interested to see how it plays out with the Giants. And I thought we were going to get in this episode, but it seems we're going to get in the third episode. Like, okay, what are the final conversations? Because if you remember the tweet from Barkley, which I think was something along the lines of, you know, I got it right here, from May 3rd, it was like, let me educate some of you fans here on Twitter. I can't bail or become a traitor. And this was because somebody on Twitter had called or said he bailed on New York. And he said, let me educate some of you fans on here. I can't bail or become a traitor if I never got an offer to come back. That's the most important part. Saquon says he never got an offer to come back. Was there an offer made? That's what we're going to find out in the third episode. That's what I'm interested in, because did the Giants just flat out say, hey, we're not matching that? Or, hey, before free agency starts, here's an offer that we can do based on the intel that we got leading up to free agency, and they offer him something. So I'm interested to see how that happens. How far do they go? And when I mean how far do they go, I mean, Saquon has said what he said. You know, do the Giants kind of say, you know, keep it moving, or do they actually call Saquon out for his bullshit if Saquon was lying in that tweet? That's what I'm interested to find out in this third episode.
I agree with you. I'll be very curious to see that. I'll be curious to see McKinney. I'll be curious to see, like, if they actually talk about the deciding factors between going Neighbors over a Dunes. I think that's probably the most curious thing I have about what we'll see still to come, because that's really the thing I care about the most. Is I don't necessarily need to agree with what the decision makers in my team are doing, but I do need to understand. I would love nothing more than to get a better understanding of evaluation and their process, because the more I understand what you're trying to do, the more fair you can be in your assessment. You know, if you can't get a clear read on what the team is doing, it becomes a lot harder to evaluate the decision making in the context of the results. So I would love to get clarity on that. And then the one last thing I do want to know, like you said, I want to know the order of the process of how this all played out, because the Burns trade has been kind of portrayed as this lingering thing. I want to know how soon they knew they were ready to do that versus how soon they were ready to go after the guys they did in free agency versus circling back to their own guys in McKinney and Barkley. That's really what I'm curious about the most. I just want to see the timeline of events and how they, how quick it all kind of came together.
Yeah, I would also love to see sort of those in-depth conversations when they're discussing this move. We've seen sort of with Brian Burns, the conversations between Dan Morgan,
who apparently is best friends with Joe Shane, they go on vacations together, and you know how those conversations went, because we saw how they started. We're seeing how they processed along throughout the offseason, but I want to see internally the Giants discussing, hey, should we make this move? Is a 2 and a 5 too much? Are we better off going after this player? How much input did Shane Bowen have? Like, does he talk more in depth about it? Hey, did ownership have to sign off this big ass contract that they gave him? I want to see how all that played out rather than just hold a negotiating process between Shane and Dan Morgan. I want to see internally with the Giants, the front office people, Chris Rossetti, the coaching staff, ownership and the contract and how they got that signed off. I would love to see how that played out. And then obviously we'll get the draft, but the draft leading up to it, not necessarily on draft night, but hey, leading up to the draft, you know, Joe Shane always talks about his press conferences, like, hey, we go through, you know, these thousands of scenarios. Well, like, I would love to see, you know, hey, were there people that wanted Odunze? Were there people that preferred Neighbors? Were there people that preferred taking McCarthy or a quarterback? How far along did you get with New England? Sort of those internal conversations, because, you know, like I said, okay, we saw that you talked to New England, but who was it for? Was there a specific quarterback? Who else did you talk to? How did you make that decision internally that you were going to start talking and moving up to 3? So that's the kind of stuff that I'm interested to see. And we've yet to see Mike Kafka, really. We saw Shane Bowen, you know, hired, you know, lay out his defense. We'd like to see Kafka a little bit more. Same with Shea Tierney, especially with these quarterbacks. That's what I'm interested to see, hopefully, in these next, you know, 2-3 episodes, is sort of the more in-depth conversations, the internal debating, coming to the conclusion that they came to, whether it was drafting Malik Neighbors, trading for Brian Burns, wanting to move up for a quarterback or whatever.
That's all I really care about when it comes to this stuff. Like, being that this is off-season Hard Knocks, the points of inflection are the decisions. And usually it's cuts for who does and doesn't make the team. Now it's, well, what's the process like of putting this together? I wish we could have had a more detailed formulation of like how they came out of last season into this season in terms of, okay, we need to address pass rusher. How did they come to Brian Burns? How did they come to Wilkins, like you mentioned, as candidates that may or may not be available? How did they come to the decision that we would be okay drafting a quarterback versus maybe we should use that for another position? That's something I definitely wish we could have gotten more on, but you probably don't want to give away the secret sauce as far as evaluation and your internal processes like that. But that would be something I definitely would have been a little bit more curious about, because ultimately that's what I care about. I care about the decision making and the evaluation process.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think really want to see those, you know, those conversations. You know, how we know where you got to. We reportedly know where you wanted to get to, but tell us in between what made you get to that point of view wanting to do it. So good first 2 episodes. I think we're seeing some in-depth stuff. We both wish we could see a little bit more. Very happy to pick out choreographed stuff.
Well, they got to explain it for the audience. That's the thing. Not everybody most of the sickos who watch Hard Knocks are football people, but you got to explain you got to have those tee up shots, because not everybody who watches knows.
So the first 2 episodes, Joe Shane is the main character, right?
So
you could tell that conversation he was having with, I think it was Tim McDonald and Brandon Brown, about, you know, Pat Mahomes couldn't win. Like, that was as choreographed as you can get. Like, it was almost like, hey, we have to, which makes me think that in the coming episodes, that quarterback conversation goes more in depth. I hope. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I hope it does.
Agreed. You want to pivot to the top 100 Giants of all time?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting list. It kind of got off to a very controversial start. So remind our, like, I'm sure by now everyone knows the Giants are doing a top 100 players of all time. And I guess they're going
day from 100 down.
Yeah, they're doing 10 a day, I think, or
something like that.
If it's 10 a week, I'm going to stop caring after, like,
they're up to 91.
Yeah, they, so they did 91, and they have like a panel of
media people. It's media people. It's there are people from the Mets. There are people from Jay Horowitz works for the Mets. There's a few daily news people.
Independent voting committee.
Yes.
And the first guy on there is Bob Papa, who I don't think, but
Ernie Accorsi is not independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Ernie Accorsi is going to give you. I mean, granted, all of this stuff is just we're filling the dead time. Yeah. All of these lists, it's like the NFL 100.
They do have some interesting people.
Yeah,
Drew Batista, who I think used to cover the Giants, now NFL Network.
Yeah,
Linda Cohen, the Sports Center. She was on Sports Center. I think she still is.
Yeah.
Peter King, obviously legend. Gary Myers, legend. Paul Schwartz covers the team right now. So yeah. And right off the bat, I mean, I guess maybe I don't know what their goal was, but most notably, Hakeem Nicks, number 87, or excuse me, 97, Saquon Barkley, 95. And then they have Lawrence Tynes at 91. And I bring that up because the rebuttal here is, well, Saquon was a better running back than Hakeem Nicks was a better receiver. And okay, I you can make that point, but if this is the greatest Giants of all time, Hakeem Nicks was a greater Giant than Saquon Barkley was a greater Giant. And if you're rebuttaling with what I said, then how is Graham Gano not listed above Lawrence Tynes, considering Graham Gano is a way better kicker than what Lawrence Tynes was. Doesn't have the moments, but he's a better kicker. Saquon Barkley doesn't have the moments, but he's the better player. You see where I'm going with this?
The reason why I'm mad about it is not necessarily because, it's not just because of like the list, right? To me, and so when I actually watched the panel, I think it was Bob Papa who goes, you know, Saquon was in tears when, you know, he was emotional when we told him that he ranked 95th out of 100. And in my head, I'm like, why are we still doing this? He's gone. He's no longer a Giant.
Maybe source management, brother.
He's a Philadelphia Eagle. Like, sometimes I think that the Giants and fans think that Saquon Barkley played for free. Every year he was in the league, he was one of the higher paid players at the running back position. Like, just face value, great Giant, never embarrassed the organization. Not his fault they picked him 2 overall. But this ass kissing that still goes on is just... He was ranked 95th on, what did you call it, an independent, whatever this list is, you know, he was ranked 95th, and he was emotional about it. Like, come on, man. Like, why are we still doing this? That's what gets me. That's what I wanted to talk about.
It's management. They want to be able to, yeah.
I'm perplexed at the just constant ass kissing that's going on between Saquon and the Giants. That's why I'm kind of hoping that they kind of push back on some of his claims, you know, about, you know, this whole narrative that they sort of didn't treat him right. But anyways, yeah, it's also July.
The Giants don't have to treat him right. I agree with you.
I know.
It's July.
It's July. You know, there's not a lot to talk about.
Hey man, I have an entire folder of Photoshop documents on my computer of lists for top 10s, top 20s, top 50s for that exact reason. There is not a whole lot going on, so we need to make rankings. We need to make lists. and we need to try and drive conversation, because without games and without decisions until training camp gets going and we know who's, you know, who's battling for third tight end and who's battling for nickel corner, there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Well, you're right. It's just such a down time of year.
It sucks to have such a nihilistic view about content, but working in content, you kind of have to have that kind of view. Otherwise, you'll go insane.
It's all about lists, and it's all about rankings, and it's all about, I mean, I'm not going to lie. So I've sort of, I have football fever. My wife the other night,
I started doing my mock draft research now, so I understand.
Yeah. So my wife caught me watching, I was watching a montage of all the postseason touchdowns from last year.
That's a good montage.
Yeah. And my wife kind of confronted me. It was at night too. Like, I was in bed. I just couldn't sleep. So I was watching football highlights. And she confronted me like I was watching pornography. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, I'm just like, it's football, man. I'm getting that itch. I'm getting, it's like an addiction, right? It's like, it's coming back. But you're right. It is that time of year that where people are just like doing something that doesn't really matter, but because it's July, it matters. For me, it's just mainly about this whole Saquon Askison thing. But anyways, it is July. Training camp is around the corner. I will be at training camp again.
Ooh.
I'm going to head out there. So I'm going on vacation at the end of the month. And then when I get back, I think I'd get back a few days before I go out to training camp. So I am very excited. I had a lot of fun at training camp yesterday or last year. I will be at training camp. I'm excited about that.
Camp last year, ready to talk about the Giants maybe having a chance to win the division. So I understand the optimism. I understand why you would want to go. Hopefully, you know, if they actually let you take pictures this time and there's no there's no ridiculous rules about what you can and can't take pictures and videos of, but it'll be fun.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, even if they don't allow me to take pictures, I mean, just the vibes at training camp is great. I mean, you walk around like your team is great. Everything is great. You'd be surprised how great some of these players look in practice.
Hey man, everybody looks good in practice.
Everybody looks good in practice. Brian Daboll lost a lot of weight. I'm eager to see how he looks.
I was talking about this the other day with one of my uncles. He texted me because he had watched Hard Knocks and he's like, do you trust Dable now that he's skinny? And I was like, I'm a little hesitant. I'm not going to lie. Part of the appeal of Dable was he was a big old chubby guy who give guys big hugs, pull them in and look like a dude who just hangs out at a dive bar, drinks 30 light beers and talks about
football. He still looks like that.
He does. I mean, the goatee and the bald head. Yeah, but.
You think it's Ozempic?
I don't know.
Oh man. It's gotta be, man. That schedule doesn't give you time to go work out.
With that body type, you would assume so, yes.
Yeah. But listen.
Hey man, who cares?
Who cares, right? Whatever makes you feel better. But yeah, I am excited.
Football has such a place in the culture that it's so omnipresent that it's really hard for anything to come close to it. And that itch is real. You know, on Friday, I was hanging out with my friends after we got back from the bar and like 2 hours of old football highlights. You know, we sat there, we watched the highlights from Chiefs Rams on Monday Night Football, and whatever that was, 2018. We sat there and watched the highlights of the divisional round. We sat there and watched the highlights from the Rams Bengals Super Bowl, the Patriots Ravens divisional round game, the football itch this time of summer, where it's just close enough that it's lingering on the horizon. Very excited that NCAA 25 is coming out next week. Very much looking forward to that. The football buzz is here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very excited. It's also because it's so fucking.
Oh, God, I'm miserable, dude.
You know, it's so hot. And you're just thinking about like that. Just like the other day I was outside and I was like, man. Yeah, Sunday actually, yeah, it was really, really hot over here. It was like
100 degrees, and the humidity doesn't help, and it just like feels like shit. And like, as a dude, like your balls get stuck to your knees. I mean, it's just, I know
TMI. Word to Phil Leotardo, hot and sticky like my balls.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I remember I got in the car and then I was like, man, I just can't wait for that October, 50 degree day.
I hope Scott Hansen's having a nice day.
And I'm just like, man, I can't wait for that. I just miss football. I miss the football weather. I miss waking up, every day. And now the NFL, they're just fucking playing football every day, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursday. I mean, it's just every single day. And I love that too. The Euro Cup and the Copa America have helped a little.
In Euros has not been very good. There has not been nearly... France got to the semifinal of this tournament without scoring an open field goal. Come on.
They gave up a lot of a lot of Iowa Hawkeye vibes from France this year. Yeah. But Spain, Spain's got this 16-year-old kid.
Yeah, Lamal. He's nice.
It's like, what the fuck? I mean, this guy just made one of the ever seen. Yeah. And did you see the Germany law about minors working?
Yeah.
Is that true? He checked out of the game today. It's helped a little bit. There's nothing like the NFL season, and I'm just getting so pumped up about it. And this Hard Knocks is helping a lot too. It's like seeing a relative after a long time.
It's seeing the uncle you only see a couple months a year. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And even I try to travel a lot. I took a couple of vacations this summer. But it's just not working, man. I still have that itch and it's just not going away.
It's coming. We will be at training camp very soon. I can't wait to see what ridiculous thing Aaron Rodgers is missing training camp for this time. It'll be very amusing. I can't wait. I started doing my draft prep. It's very early, obviously. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcast. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Ethan at EthanGSN. Follow me at Nick Serraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms.